In this episode, we'll be looking at reflections from Bob and Tornig. No, not just Bob, but Bob. Bob, the grandfather and his grandchild, what would you say to your child as he or she gets married? Hey, it's a personal one for me, because my kid's getting married. And we're inviting you to check in with us right now. This is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to take edition number 376 of The Next Step with us.
Hi, this is Susie of Any Issues Ministries welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armadoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, how do you do? It's so good to be with you today. Glad to share these few moments. I'm glad you're with us today. I'm recording out of the Glendale studio. And yes, it has gotten a little calmer weather-wise. It is not as miserably hot as it was before. But maybe also because my attention is somewhere else. I'm not noticing the weather patterns. Yes, this Saturday, a big personal event takes place for me. My son is getting married. My oldest son is getting married. And I'm so excited and kind of like walking in a daze every day because there's just so much to do. And I'm going to share with you some personal reflections today. Because, well, I was debating about this. Do we talk personal or not? And then I got an interesting email from a listener over on the East Coast named Sarah, who was talking about some of the healing podcasts that we had done. You know, we have a whole series of healing podcasts on our Lenten Journey series. And I had a chance to refer her to some next steps that we're doing. Next steps back in, I want to say it was 2011, if I'm not mistaken, right after my diagnosis of cancer, I did a few next steps that were really targeted towards healing and what I went through. And it was a personal journey that I was sharing with my Next Step listeners. And so it kind of gave me the courage to say, okay, it's okay to talk about some of the personal stuff. And I know we get some wild ideas. Sometimes we go really abstract, don't we? Sometimes we go very stellar. We talk about what's going on in the planets and the stars and the systems and the cosmos. Sometimes we get very esoteric on the Next Step. Sometimes we're really focused. But we also get very personal, and I want to share with you some reflections today as the father of the groom, what goes on in my head as a priest of the Armenian Church, as marriage comes into your life once again, this time for your child. Those reflections, what do you say? Is there something to say? Do we need to say something? And I think it's going to be interesting. I think you'll find it interesting. That's coming up in the second portion of today's show. And, I'm not going to talk myself out of it, okay? We're going to do it. Let me start off by telling you, I saw this really interesting post. It was about hundreds of thousands of Facebookers who were duped in a big way. That's the actual headline. And what happened is, I guess somebody put up a map of, someone in cyberspace decided to draw a fake map of the nations of Native American tribes prior to American colonization. So it's a map of the United States, and rather than the usual 50 Markovs, or actually this is the continental United States. So rather than having the 48 contiguous states marked off, they have marked off the nations of the Native Americans, or what would commonly be called the Indians. And it's very, very interesting because we talk about Indian tribes, the Cherokee Nation, the Chumash Indians by us, the Aztec Nation. Anyway, this is a fantastic map of the United States prior to colonization. So let me read to you what it says over here. It says, I've never seen this map in my entire 25 years of formal education. The original poster said this. The implication was that her teachers had purposefully avoided sharing the map because they didn't want to know the truth about America's wickedness. According to conservative commentator Caleb Howie, however, the map isn't real. This map is a look at theoretical North America today, if the Europeans had never come here and colonized. So you get it, it's not really a map of what transpired. It's what could have been, which is okay, you know, that's kind of nice. But it was presented as something as, look at these atrocities. Look what has happened over here. And here, this is what the Apache Empire could have looked like. This is what the Hopi tribe could have looked like. And I'll put a link on today's show notes. It's kind of interesting to look at it. And there is a small little, in a parenthesis, it says approximate 2015 AD. Basically, it's telling you, or the label on the map itself is telling you that this is an approximation of what it could have been. But 300,000 Facebookers, what is that, 250,000 people, took this and shared it. It went viral that, hey, look how awful this colonization process is. And whether you believe the colonization is awful or not is secondary at this point. What I'm trying to get across is look at the power that these images have, that these words have, and when it's unbridled, it can really go haywire. I say this, of course, in the context of what we do here on The Next Step. I mean, think about it. You know, sometimes these pictures, these images say so much, but who's checking on any of this? I shared with you that story last week about, you know, the rat in a hamburger. You know, and yeah, it's horrible. You find out somebody's bitten into a hamburger and they found a rat. And as disgusting as that is, it has to be checked, right? When you find out that news story appeared in McDonald's magazine against Burger King, you know, then you say, wait, could this possibly be tainted? And so much so with all of information that is being thrown out at us. Just because it's online, just because there's a picture out there, doesn't mean it's gospel. It doesn't mean it's true. Be willing to take a deep breath, not just a deep breath between all of the information that's being thrown out at you. Because we're living in a day and age today where everything is being thrown out at us. And, you know, just the proof of that is our love for this social media. I did a funeral a couple weeks ago, and it was for an older gentleman, 85, 90 years old, who just loved people. And it occurred to me, and I said this to the grandchildren too, you know, isn't it interesting that this man and that generation did have Facebook? It was a different type of Facebook. They would go and sit down with people and they would communicate one-on-one. They would invite friends over and they would have a cup of coffee, and over a bottle of cognac or over a small meal, they would exchange ideas and stories and reflect about things and then walk away and have time to digest it. That was the old time Facebook, right? Right now, Facebook is just boom, 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 boom. Here is some information. Facebook isn't enough, so you now have Twitter. Twitter's not enough, so now you've got Snapchat, you know. Now you've got these Instagram, these images, boom, boom. It's being thrown out at you. Here is a map. Here is a map. Take a look at it. That awful colonization process. Whatever you believe about it, that's your business. But consider some time to just take a breath in between the images, in between the information that is bombarding you. And so too with religion too. We get all kinds of stuff. One of our listeners sent me some links to what's going on in Armenian church. There's some big tragedies. There's some big incidents that are happening. One in particular, and I'll put a link on today's show notes about that one as well, is a group of Islamicized Armenians. Okay, now, who are these people? These are people after the Armenian genocide who stayed there in Turkey. And over the course of the 100 years, they basically became Muslims. But they understand that ethnically they are Armenian. And a group of them came to Armenia, and they came to the doors of the Holy See of Etchmiadzin, and they said, we want to be baptized. We want to become Christians. We want to be baptized in the church. And they were refused. They were refused by the priest at Etchmiadzin. And when you read the stories, you understand that there was a wide variety of reasons, because there was some question about, was this being done for the right reasons? Was this being done because of political reasons, because they wanted to get into the European Union, blah, 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 blah. There's a whole bunch of explanations were being given. But this is what I want to point out right now. So this story, it's sensational, right? Church refuses baptism. That's sensational headline, right? It gets thrown out and it gets kneaded like some dough and it starts rising. So now people are talking about, oh, the church should do this. The church is this. Look at this. They're corrupt. If they had money, they would have done this. Yeah, okay. We can make a point. We can make a case for all of these arguments, but you need to take a breath in between all this. What is going on? And so all of a sudden, everybody gets on this bandwagon. People, the unchurched, and I think this is fascinating. People who have no clue about church are just ready to bash it. Well, of course, because it's the evil empire, right? It's like a huge institution. It has no face. And so you could just like go ahead and bash it and bash it and bash it. You bash it enough, and guess what? It can't stand up. So all of a sudden you have people who are protecting it, this institution that has no face. And you're going back and forth and people arguing. We need to chill out a little bit. We need to take a breath. And it's just the same situation with this map. Now, I do want to talk about that baptism issue. And I think it's a big one. And I promise I will share it with you next week, because I wanted to get into a little bit more personal issue this week, considering that our oldest son is getting married this week. So I'm going to share with you, well, what a dad might say to his son. Actually, quite different than what you might imagine, but it'll be reflective. So I want to share that with you, our Next Step listeners. Right now, we're going to take a break for the song of the day, and I will dedicate this to my son, Bobby Jean. This is Bambir doing John Barleycorn.
Derva oçer nazar açer yere kahel mi apeti U oçer vet zor garuat Cone iskuin merni piti
Go.
bakcsalórum, mert nem pakjeci. Volet kell nisz kis argyöngyön. Varna jetszín bajsz bocsmi okút, csiszozom csel, mert gyóna bédzó. Vaszkornára te vinkamó, terskarói kipotöré.
It is always fun to listen to Bembeer. Wasn't that great? Did you enjoy that? That is John Barleycorn, an old Scottish favorite. I've heard versions. Well, the original version that I heard was by Stevie Winwood doing it with Traffic. I have a Jethro Tull version done live in concert. And now you hear the Bembeer version, my favorite group out there in Armenia, just putting it all together between our common Armenian and Scot heritages. Yeah, did you know we have a common heritage? Well, I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it up to you to dig it up, because I've spoken enough about this, and I'm sure I will speak more about it later coming up in the years to come. But for right now, I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. John Barleycorn, there will be a link on today's show notes so you can listen not only to that song, but all of their great music that comes out of this very powerful group, Bembeer.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow. that your dreams may not.
Transitions. They are reflective times, right? You reflect what you're about, who you are, what you're doing. Certainly at a time like this, when your son's getting married, and you start thinking about all kinds of things. You think about yourself, your relationship with your child. What would you say? What did your father say to you? What did your mother say to you? Whether it's your son, your daughter, your mother, you've had a mother, you've had a father. Somebody's talked to you at some point, at some intimate level. And if they haven't, maybe they've reflected it in their actions, right? Maybe the warmth that you've seen in their eyes. My son Vadajan was born back in San Jose, and I remember giving him the name Vadajan. It was a cool name. It's my dad's name. And my dad was kind of this unique person that had no limits in the things that he could do. The night Vadajan was born, my father just showed up at the hospital, not knowing where the hospital was. They lived in Los Angeles. We lived in San Jose. And he just knew that his daughter-in-law was in labor and his grandson or grandchild at that time. There was no predictions back in those days. The only prediction you had was you'd take the wedding ring and you'd swing it on a piece of string over the mom's tummy. And you'd be able to tell if it was a boy or a girl. Or at least I could, okay? But we didn't know what to expect. We had equal number of boy names and girl names at the time. But my dad, wanting to know what's going to happen and be there at that moment in history, much like a Forrest Gump who was just there at the right time. So too, my dad just showed up at the right time at the hospital. And I remember walking down the hall with him and reflecting with him and saying, guess what, Dad? We gave him an incredible name. We gave him the name Vadajan. And my dad wasn't able to, I could tell at that moment he wasn't able to put into words his feelings. And there was this shyness about it all of a sudden. This big man who was very powerful in my eyes and in many eyes all of a sudden was humbled. And he turned to me and he said, why would you want to do a thing like that? Showing his humility at that moment too. But here it is, some 28 years later, 29 years later, and my son is getting married. And what do you say to your son? What are the kind of, what's the advice that you give to your son or to your daughter as they're about to take this next step in their lives? And you think about your own marriage, you think about your own life, and some of the do's and don'ts in your life. And it's very easy to rattle off a list of things that you would do, that you would say, you know, do this, be kind, be nice, love one another, don't let the sun set without you saying sorry to one another if you've hurt anyone. Then there's a whole selection of these advice. I was going to say axioms in life, but they're more than axioms. They're just basically advice from the human spirit. And I was thinking about that. What would you say? And it occurred to me that I really have this beautiful model of advice that I'd like to pass along to him. And this is what I wanted to share with you, my Next Step listeners. Because back in 1986, 87, right as he was being born, an older man gave me this book. And I've treasured this book and had a beautiful chance to pass it along to my son. This book written in Armenian is called Babigiv Tornik. It is by Kharimyan Hayrig, Mugurdich Kharimyan Hayrig, the respected, renowned statesman, churchman of the Armenian Church back in 1850s, 1860s. Kharimyan Hayrig had written this beautiful book. It is a reflection of a grandfather to his grandchild. It is called Babig Yevtornig. Literally means grandfather and grandchild. What would a grandfather say to his grandchild? This is what I want to reflect with you, because it's different than what you may think. It's different in the respect that it's not advice about feelings, but an advice of a personal nature, of a real nature, about life. Babi Giftornik, grandfather and grandchild. What advice does a grandfather give to his grandchild? And the book, quite extensive. It's worth a read if you ever get a chance to sit down, first of all, to learn the Armenian language, learn to read and write, and then sit down and dedicate that kind of time to reading it. I know it's an incredible read. But I want to center and focus about one particular portion, because this elderly gentleman gave me this book back in the 1980s, and I've kept this book with me. I've checked in with it many, many times and used it as an opportunity at different people's wedding services, people who would get it, so to speak. And now's the time for me to reflect on that. It's my personal reflection on Babi Giftornik. What does he say to his grandchild? It's interesting. It's not about, you know, don't be mean, don't be, which is good advice, right? Love one another, and that's important. But he says something very, very special. He says, my son, my grandchild, Tornik, today you're going to get married. You're going to go into the church, and the priest is going to marry you. And by the way, I'm just paraphrasing it. This is not a literal translation. Giving you a synopsis of this one particular part where he talks about the land. And he says, my Tornik, my grandson, today you'll be going into the church, and the priest will unite you in holy matrimony with Shushan, your bride. Shushan, the name, it's a name of the bride. He says, today the priest will unite you in holy matrimony with Shushan. And he continues to reflect. Now remember, this is a churchman. This is a Catholicos of the Armenian people that is writing this. And he said, spiritually, this blessing from the priest is enough. But unless I, as your grandfather, as Babik, do not tie you to the land, you will die. You will die of hunger, of physical ills. You won't make it unless I tie you to that land. Wow. Now think about that, okay? He's a clergyman. He's the top clergyman, the Catholicos. Loved by people, Megerdich Harimian Haydig. He's known as Haydig by the people, as father. It's an endearing term of fatherhood. Why? Because he was just so hands-on, okay? And here you have it. He's telling you, you've got to be connected to the land. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's go to the spiritual part, okay? What happens in an Armenian Orthodox service? Now, Armenian Orthodox tradition, it is not just two people coming together and being united as husband and wife. The service itself is unity in Christ. It means that two people are united in Christian values, in Christian understanding. So what does that mean? Well, we use symbols. As I've shared with you many times, the mystery, and especially the mystery which we call sacraments, in the English word sacraments derived from the word sacred, in Armenian translates to chorurt, which means mystery. Okay, sacrament is a mystery. Now, that mystery means it's beyond our understanding. You say, well, of course, you get married, you go to get a license, somebody signs it. No. Chorurt is beyond that. It's the mystery of how two people are united and become one. St. Paul uses the same term. He says, husbands, love your wives as yourselves. And then he goes on to say that, I am talking about a mystery. the union of a man and a woman is a mystery. It's not just a question of getting together and living in a house and having children, but the mystical union of two souls coming together and becoming one, so that you are one of mind, of soul, of body. It all comes together. And so in the Armenian church, we use symbols. And those symbols steer our cognitive understanding, steer our reflective understanding toward that mystery. We use the symbol, for instance, of the ring, which is common in many traditions. It is, when you get married, you exchange rings. Well, what is that symbol? It has no beginning, it has no end, it's circular, it is made of precious metal, precious stones, to symbolize the preciousness of love. The circular, that no beginning, no end, as your love will have no end, and so on. We use the symbol of crowns in the Armenian church. Because in the Armenian church, it's not just two people getting together and becoming husband and wife. It's two people getting together and becoming a new king and a queen. Now, lately, I've noticed that many people use, in Armenian church tradition, they use these ornamental crowns made out of brass, or sometimes, maybe, I don't know if they're precious metal, probably brass with all kinds of ornamental jewels on them. This is a relatively new tradition. I don't know how many of this is going to age me, but who cares? We are aged, right? Our kids are getting married, right? But there used to be a commercial about imperial margarine. The margarine was so good that it fooled people into thinking that it was butter, and it made you feel like royalty, imperial crown. And so you'd see this man just sitting there at breakfast, eating a piece of toast with margarine on it, and lo and behold, all of a sudden there'd be a crown on his head. He was a king. And a lot of times I see these crowns being used in the Armenian church, which remind me of that particular commercial. Actually, the original crown, which we use, by the way, here, if you get married at my church in Glendale, we use the original one. It was made out of three strings. One was red, one is white, and one is green. They are intertwined together, and a cross is placed on them, and we crown the husband and the wife as king and queen under this particular unique crown made of three separate strings intertwined. Now, think about the symbolism here, okay? First of all, what is the red string? Red string is sacrifice. Remember I said the Christian mystery of union, of marriage, is this mystery in Christ, united in Christ. Well, where is that Christ element? There it is, the red, the symbol of sacrifice, the symbol of blood, or the color of blood, right? And it is the symbol of sacrifice. And so think about it. Okay, so the intertwined strings, one of them is sacrifice. It's intertwined. It's not alone, okay? It's not only you get into marriage and you sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. No, it is intertwined with the white and the green. So this particular string, being red, reminds us of sacrifice. We are united in Christ, as Christ sacrificed himself for all of humanity, so too we sacrifice one another for each other. Wow. Now, this goes against conventional conventional wisdom, right? Where you do everything for the self. No, you're sacrificing. That's what the commitment, that's what marriage is about. Giving to one another. Sacrificing. Now, we all fall short of that, right? Because we can't sacrifice. Our egos get in the way. But that particular string reminds us that that is an element of this union. Sacrificing. I've joked about this many times at different wedding services, that we have a popular what is he, a psychologist, a therapist over here named Dr. Phil. He's on TV, and he gives advice to couples, and he talks about the 50-50 relationship. No, Christianity is beyond 50-50. Christianity is 100%. You give everything to one another. Now, does this mean you have no fun? No. It's in that giving that you understand who you are. It's in that giving that you define yourself. Remember, Hariman Heirig, this is on the platform that Hariman Heirig has set up, right? What did he say? It's about being tied to the land. And in being tied to the land, you sacrifice. What does he talk about? He talks about the sweat of your brow. The sweat has to fall from your brow for you to appreciate that beauty that's out there. He says, unless I unite you with the earth, you will die. He's calling for you to give of yourself for that earth. For that treasure that is greater than you, to tie you with something beyond yourself. And so we unite the couple with this braid made up of red, sacrifice. The second color is white. White is purity. It means goodness. It means friendliness. It means becoming friends with one another and talking in purity. Opening up to one another, sharing with one another, dreams, aspirations, difficulties, problems. And that white string is an important string in that equation. But it's not alone. You don't just sit there and open up, and get nothing in return. No, it's intertwined with the red and the green. In other words, the sacrifice that you make is counterbalanced. You find the strength to sacrifice because of the sacrifices made by your partner. You find your willingness to open up and to be candid and to be pure because of the willingness of your partner to do the same. And finally, the green string is, of course, the symbol, the color of life, the symbol of life. So intertwined between sacrifice and purity is this green string, life. You are called to produce life. You know, when I get called to do home blessings, it's interesting. In the tradition, there's a trinity of items in the home blessing service. I go to people's homes and we bless water, salt, and bread. Now, each of those things has a significance as well. Okay, these are symbols as well. Don't get off on me. I heard it this week. Somebody talked about symbols, and they said, "Hey, we do it all the time, right?" How about your birthday? You have a birthday cake, and you blow out the candles. You imagine somebody looking at you who didn't understand this? What a strange thing. You bake some bread, you put some frosting on it, and then you have some fire on it, and people sing, and then you blow it out. Yeah, it's a symbol. It's a custom. It's a ritual. Okay, so when you have a home, you have a home blessing, and you have the water for your spiritual needs, because you know you can't live without that water, that spirit. The bread, obviously, it's your physical needs, but we also bless salt. Why? Because salt gives flavor to life, and so too is this green string. It is intertwined between the sacrifice, between the purity. You need to have flavor in your life. Enjoy life. Make the best of life. Take it to its limits. Don't put any restrictions on yourself. Because you find that in that enjoyment, life really has its flavor, its saltiness. What does Jesus say? You are the salt of the earth. But if that saltiness, but if that salt has lost its flavor, what good is it for? Think about it. A salt, tiny, tiny little speck that you look at. It gives so much flavor. But if its saltiness has been removed, what is it? It's a piece of sand. It just goes under your feet. It gets trampled on. It goes away. No, keep that saltiness. Keep that flavor in your life. So king and queen are now crowned in front of the church altar with this braid, with this crown made up of red, white, and green strings, made up of sacrifice, of purity, friendship, and also life, of flavor. Putting it all together, one receiving from the other. So it's not a one-way traffic idea. It's not that I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to open up myself and become the best friend that I can be. I'm going to sacrifice everything that I have. And you know what? I'm going to live and live it for myself. No, it's living together in this union, in this partnership. Sacrificing together in this partnership. Becoming friends together. And this is not an easy process, by no means. It is not an easy process, considering that two people get together from such different backgrounds. And as wild as it is, we think that, okay, you know, you have the similar likes and everything. But don't forget that people are getting married and they come into the equation brought up with a unique set of circumstances. Each of us is unique. Each of us brings in our own set of rules, regulations, and understanding. And then those two coming together has to be under a mutual understanding of faith, hope, and love, of water, bread, and salt, of red, white, and green, of sacrifice, purity, and life. So in front of the altar, they receive this particular symbol, crowning them. Then the other symbol that we have in the Armenian church is the wine. The couples partake from the same glass. And, you know, you could build all kinds of scenarios and understandings. The metaphor is very simple to understand. You drink from the same cup. But inside that cup is wine. Now, wine is an interesting item. It brings a lot of joy. People who drink it and say, oh yeah, I feel buzzed, I feel happy. But you know, if you drink a little bit too much, it also brings sadness. We know that alcohol is a depressant, right? And there is sadness in life. And in that same cup, there are good days, there are bad days. There's good wine, there's bad wine. So it's up to the couple to promise to share that same cup. And when those bad days come, to be reminded vis-a-vis these symbols of the love that they had on the day that they were married. And that's that love is what transitions, what changes that sour wine, that bad wine, into good wine. Remember the story that we reflected on a couple weeks ago. Jesus at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. They ran out of wine, and he said to his mother, what's it to us? But still, he took the water and he transformed it into wine. What transformed that water into wine? Jesus. Jesus is love incarnate. The name of love is Jesus. So just put that into the equation right now, right? What transformed the water into wine? Love. Love is what changes the sourest of all wine into the sweetest of all wine. And that's that love that needs to be at the center of this union. So Bobby tells his son, his grandson, spiritually it's enough what the priest did. But today, Babig has to tie you to the land. So we get the spiritual picture now with the symbols. But what does it mean to be tied to the land? Well, as I said a few minutes ago, he talks about the sweat of your brow, about everything that you do, you have to work for. Yeah, there is an element of civilization in this equation as well. It's not spiritual. It's about reality. It's about the things that are important to you. You get by working for them. Yeah, I know, that sounds tough, doesn't it? But it's an important part of the equation. My dad used to tell me this story about a young man and his father who would... The young man was always after... I guess the father had some money. And as all these good tales begin, right? So the young man tells his father, "When are you going to give me some of your money?" And the father says, "I'll be happy to give you the money. I'll be happy to give you whatever you deserve. First, take this coin." And he gives him a big coin. And he says, "Go ahead, throw it into the ocean." And the kid picks it up and he throws it into the ocean. And the father says, "Well, just wait. There'll be a day when I give you your inheritance, your money." Several years later, the kid grows up and he says to his dad once again, he says, "When are you going to give me my money?" The father says, "I definitely will give it to you. First, take this coin and throw it into the ocean." Now, the kid remembers what happened on the last time. He didn't get a kickback for throwing the coin in the ocean. So the kid thinks, maybe my father wants me to see how far I could throw it, you know? So he winds up and he throws the coin way out into the ocean. And the father says, "Not yet, but there'll come a time when I'll give you your money." Finally, the kid grows up a few more years, and by this time he has a job, and he's making his money. He's earning a living for himself. He figures, you know, he can always use some more money, so he goes up to his father and says, "When are you going to give me my inheritance? What's supposed to be coming to me?" The father says, "Fine, here's a coin. Throw it into the ocean." The kid doesn't hesitate for a moment, and he just stops. He says, "No way, I can't throw that into the ocean." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because I know how difficult it is to make that money. I'm working now. I can't throw it in there." Yeah, it now has value. Now that coin has value. You see, before it didn't have any value. It was just given to him. But once he started working for it, once he started to sweat for that money, it had value. Now, I know we're getting into some fundamental ideas over here. I know it sounds like the Protestant work ethic, but maybe it is what Chaim Heidegg was tapping into, an important part of life, that value comes from our suffering, from our understanding of what that item is. And certainly it has its value. There's no intrinsic value to that piece of metal apart from what you ascribe to it. And if you have to work for it, if your brow has to be filled with sweat for it, it has value. Okay, so now Chaim Heidegg is saying you have to sweat. You have to be tied to the land. Now this land, of course, he's talking about Armenia, about being tied and united to your ancestral roots. But it also means everything that is beyond yourself. And so I take Chaim Heidegg's words today, in this day and age, as being a sound bit of advice to commit yourself to something greater than yourself. And don't be scared to lose sleep over it. Don't be scared to let the sweat come off of your brow. Don't be scared to get your hands dirty in that soil, in that work. Because this is what's missing out of our lives today. That commitment to something beyond ourselves. Something greater than ourselves. And if it's the land, if it's a country, if it's a nation, if it's personhood, or in our case, through In His Shoes, something greater being the suffering of humanity, commit yourself to it. Be that person. And be the best that you can be. This was advice that Chaim Heidegg gave to his tornik, this tornik that exists in all of us. An advice that is very sound. It's the bit of advice that I pass along to my son, and I know you pass along to your children, because it is the one bit of advice that transcends who we are, all the different factors that contribute to who we are, and really belongs to all of humanity. Best wishes for a beautiful life to my son, Bahrujan, and my new daughter, Lauren. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We've been broadcasting for 8 years now. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's Epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, we're winding down the summer and getting back into the swing of things. I want to thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank all of you for your support. We've got a beautiful few months ahead of us, including a very special bicycling for our friends in Darfur. And that's going to be a new project that we're going to be unveiling this week. It's going to be an In His Shoes project. It's going to be a bicycle ride and also a virtual bicycle ride. It's to collect funds and awareness for the children who have been displaced from the Darfur genocide. That's all part of the In His Shoes movement. And this is why it's important to listen to what Susie's saying. As far as supporting this ministry, it's beyond just this podcast. It's beyond just getting together. It's really making a difference in the lives of people. And I want to invite you to become a partner in this very special ministry. In His Shoes, get on our website, inhisshoes.org. There's a donate button. Make your commitment and make your participation loud and clear to say, I'm going to be walking in the shoes of others. I'm going to call it a day for right now. Got so many things to do. We're getting ready for this beautiful wedding, and I'm looking forward to being with you again next week when we'll have a chance to maybe reflect on the other side of the wedding. I'm going to be actually next week, I'm going to be heading out towards Ohio, and give you a heads up. Any of you out in that area would love to see you. Give me a shout out, send me an email, feedback@epostle.net, as well as anything you want to say about this podcast or anything that we're doing at In His Shoes or Epostle. Again, that's feedback@epostle.net. And as I said, those people who write about show topics, I'm going to be happy to address those in subsequent shows. But for right now, we're in this show. And so I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the crew who put this all together, including this nice little jingle that you hear at the beginning and the end of our shows, a creation by Bahrujan, as we wish him all the best as he starts creating a new life with Lauren. Both of them, all the best. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top visit.
Wondering aloud how we feel today. Last night, sip the sunset, my hand in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start, both our hearts beating life into each other. Wondering aloud, will the years treat us well? As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. Yeah. Of toast as the butter runs, then she comes spilling crumbs on the bed. And I shake my head, and it's only the giving that makes you what you are.